Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad that you're out there and we're together listening to this program, because we are exalting and we are praising our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he has revealed himself and showed himself to us in his wonderful word, the Bible. And we have his word today. And I call this program sometimes Equal Time, because there's so many people that are attacking the true word of God, the authorized King James Bible. And so we're on the other side, and we believe that we have God's word. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And there's no place in the Bible where God's people that wrote the New Testament corrected the Bible that they had. And there's many people out there today that are Bible correctors. And so we're Bible upholders. We're Bible believers. We believe that we're to get our doctrine from the Bible, and we're not to shape the Bible to our doctrine. Some people change the Word of God to fit whatever they believe, but the Word of God stands, and we are to go by it. And so today, that's what our program is all about, is upholding the authorized King James Bible. Now, some people, they talk like they have the Word of God. They'll say, the Bible is true, every word is true, the Bible is infallible. That's a present tense word, is. And then they shift to, it was infallible, inspired in the originals. Well, that may be true, but we believe that according to the Word of God that we have it today. And in scripture verses that tell us about the Word of God, point to the King James like a laser beam. There's so many of them, and we have given an example of this. And so the program is to uphold the Word of God. But some of you may go to a church and you think that this is strange, what we're saying, that we actually believe that we have the words of God. It's not just a translation. And the Apostle Paul says he thanks God continually that when you received the Word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Now, when people are saying today, well, it's the Word of God, and then the next minute, it's the word of men, it's just a translation. But we believe that God Almighty has kept his words, which he said he would do. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver given it, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. And so God said he would keep his words and he would preserve his words. And there's so many verses that point to the King James. For instance, in Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And the King James is based on a text that has come down to us through the apostles. There's hundreds of these ancient Bibles in museums all over Europe that line up with the King James. And see, what the devil does, the first thing out of his mouth is, yea, hath God said. And so Satan's main purpose is to question God's word. And with these different translations, they first say, well, you can't understand the King James. And once you believe that, and that's a lie, and once you believe that, then they put out a translation and they put all kinds of corruptions into their translation. And so the Word of God stood. It came down to us, and it was in the Bible-believing churches, and King James Bible was translated from these ancient Bibles that have come down to us. Now, in case you think what we're saying sounds strange to you, because you may not have heard this before, I asked Kim, and she's been reading letters. I asked her today to read something from Dwight L. Moody. And they mock people today that believe, they say they're King James only, and that's what we are. We have one standard. There's one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Christ, one church, one, and we're to have one Bible. And it says we're to say the same things, you know, in the Bible. We're not to say different things. So I just asked him to read what D.L. Moody says about this, because he was a Bible believer. And he believed that he had the Word of God. And so, Kim, would you read that?
Yes, I have this quote from D.L. Moody. We have authorized religious teachers who hold and promulgate these unbiblical and unchristian ideas, and moreover, spend a good share of their time in tearing the Bible to shreds and attempting to prove its untrustworthiness. It is all remarkable that busy, hardworking, earnest men should turn away from the sanctuary and restrain prayer and cast off the fear of God and year by year drift heathenward.
Okay, so could you keep on reading a little bit farther on that?
This is what his son wrote about his dad's belief in the Bible. He said he did not mince words when he felt the criticism was a duty. His picture of a man following his minister's sermons carefully and cutting out of the Bible wherever the minister said was not authentic was amusing, thought, though sad. One day this man carried to his pastor a badly mutilated Bible, for which numerous leaves and parts of leaves had been cut, saying, "Here, Pastor, is your Bible." "My Bible," said the clergyman impatiently. "Yes, I have cut out all that you said as false and allegory and folklore, and also the mythical and so-called unauthentic parts, and here's what's left." Give it to me," said the preacher. "No, you don't," the man replied. "You haven't touched the covers yet, and I'm going to cling to them at least."
All right, thank you very much. Now, D.L. Moody in his day had to face the same thing we're doing today that we face today about the Bible, because it was at his time that Westcott and Hort put out their satanic theories to overthrow and attack the words of God. And many of these Bible correctors and in many Bible schools today, they're teaching the theories and they're basing the theories on the theories of Westcott and Hort to overthrow the true words that God has given it to us. And we want to point out this, that Bergen has showed, and he's never been successfully refuted, that 99% of the ancient church fathers and ancient manuscripts back up the King James. And down in, somebody says, well, they found more manuscripts. The more manuscripts they found, they still back up the King James. Colwell from the University of Chicago, he was a liberal, and as they were collating more of the manuscripts, they found out that these manuscripts they were finding since the King James came out was backing the authorized King James Bible. They found, for instance, an Oxyrhynchus in Egypt. They found papyri there that backs up the King James, and we say 99%. So what they do, first of all, they say, well, you can't understand it, so we need a new translation. Then they throw their false doctrines and their false teaching into these translations. And it may be new to you what we're saying, but one of the things that we're trying to do here in the program is we're trying to show you literature and give you literature that will support the authorized King James Bible. And a number of books that are well-researched and well-documented books that are based on biblical ideas and biblical words are out today, but you won't get them in your bookstores that promote a new Bible every year for money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. A root is what nourishes a plant, and so the love of money nourishes evil. And to have these modern Bibles have corruption in them. Last night I was listening to Moody Station, and a preacher got on there, and he was warning about groups and cults that would minimize Jesus Christ, would put him down, would say less about him. And this is one of the reasons why this program is so important and why we uphold the King James. Because the modern corrupt Bibles, based on less than 1% of the manuscripts, they eliminate the names of Jesus 100 times in the New Testament. And we've been giving out papers that give the exact references of the places where the names of Jesus have been taken out of the New Testament. And one place they take a name of Jesus in the Old Testament, and they apply it to the devil. And that's done in the NIV. The devil is taken one of the names of Jesus. And so we have a paper that shows the 100 places that the names of Jesus are taken out. And you could, if you call in today, We'll send you this paper. We haven't been giving it out lately, but we've been giving out for a long time, and you can check for yourself. Now, we mentioned last week that there's a Bible version out, and I know on the internet these people, they try to demonize it and so on because they're promoting corrupt Bibles, so anybody that defends the true Word of God, they're going to attack. And I just need to remind you that when Jesus was on the earth, the religious leaders that should have supported him and had the scripture to prove who he really was, they attack him and they were against him and criticize him. And today, when we have the living Word of God in the authorized King James Bible, with the proof from many, many scriptures, many religious leaders will attack it, will try to do anything, will not promote it, will be against it. And it seems to me the Bible says Jesus was delivered to his enemies because of envy, the Bible says. It's almost envious of a book. They want to be the authority. And so that's proven all the time because they're saying on the radio and television all the time they're correcting it. And you can hardly listen to a program anymore, many programs today that they say a better reading is, isn't a fortunate translation, the original Greek says. And they don't give you any evidence or proof. You're to drop your Holy Bible, the King James Bible, and just believe what they say. So that makes them like a pope. Spurgeon called them popelings. And I talked to a good lady, and she was sincere, I know, but she believed and trusted in her Bible teacher that was a Bible corrector. And so the authority then goes to a man and not the Word of God. We know the King James is the Word of God because of many verses. It says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. A pillar upholds a building. The ground is what the building is set on. And so the true churches down through the ages, they had the true Bible, and they still do today. And if they don't have a King James Bible, if they don't promote that, they're off base already because they have a Bible that is taken out the names of Jesus in 100 places. You know, it says about the Laodicean church that they were blind, and they thought that they were intelligent. They thought that they were wealthy. They said, we have need of nothing. But the Lord said, you need to open your eyes with, put on your eyes eye salve so that your eyes might be healed. And Jesus said he was outside the door and knocking. You see, Jesus is in us and in a church through his words. You throw out his words, you're throwing out Jesus out of that church. And he was knocking at the church of Laodicea. And so we have the words of God today. Now, the Bible is an amazing book, and it is scientific. And it what it says in science, it's way ahead. And many of the things that we know today were taught in the Word of God thousands of years ago. And I asked Pastor Davis, who is with us today, to tell us about one of those things.
Well, thanks, Bruce. And yeah, the scientific accuracy of the Bible is absolutely incredible when you look at it. Because remember, Paul told Timothy to beware of science falsely so-called, and we get a lot of false science out there, but all of our major disciplines in science really have had people who believe the Bible, or at least believed in God, really at the basis of them. But as far as some actual scientific evidence in the Bible, if you go to Job chapter 29 and verse number 25, verse number 26, it says, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. And there's a similar verse over in Job chapter 38 and verse number 25. It also says, or a way for the lightning of thunder. And people didn't understand what that meant. Until in the 1960s, they found out that when you see a lightning bolt, you actually see the second bolt that starts, because what happens is when lightning forms, there's an electrical charge that builds up in the cloud, and generally the top of the cloud is positively charged, the bottom of the cloud is negatively charged, and what happens is it causes a positive charge, a strong positive charge to build up on the ground underneath the cloud, and those positive charges send up streamers, which they call step leaders. And if you could imagine, you know, your fingers of your hand pointing up, and if you hold one hand up with the fingers pointing up and the other hand above it with the fingers pointing down, that would be like these electrically charged streamers that come down from the cloud and up from the ground. And where one of them meets, a little bolt from the ground flashes up to the cloud, and it's immediately followed by a second bolt that shoots down, and it's much bigger and it's much brighter. So we only see the second bolt, and it takes about 200 milliseconds for that first bolt to form. And then we see the second bolt, and that first bolt forms the way of the lightning, of the thunder. We didn't know that until the 1960s when, using high-speed photography, they shot rockets, little model rockets with trailing wires up into thunderclouds, and they were surprised to watch the second or this first lightning bolt form that we couldn't see. And some people try to say, oh, they added it in there later on, you know, this information. But I got a Bible, a King James Bible that was published in the 1860s, and it's got that same information in it, and that was about 100 years before they discovered it. So how did Job, living way, way back in time, know that there was a way for the lightning of the thunders unless God revealed it to him?
Thank you very much, and that is really interesting. We're going to have that as a feature of our program, the scientific accuracy of the Holy Bible, and it is really tremendous. And we also, it makes me think again of the prophecy in the book of Revelation where it talks about the woman picturing Israel, and it says, there were given unto her the wings of a great eagle, and she did fly into the desert. What do you think about that? Doesn't that talk about airplane flight?
Sure sounds that way to me.
How could it be any clearer than that? Mm-hmm. You know, and it says, there were given unto her the wings of a great eagle, and she did fly. And John is looking into the 20th century that God has shown him in prophecy. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is full of things like that. God just writes the future as if it's already happened because he knows what has happened. And the Bible is just so incredible like that. But I want today to talk a little bit about prophecy, and it's so important about what is going on today. And today, in the heart of the news, is the Jewish people. And it's always, you hear so much about Jerusalem and Israel. And God had raised them up for the purpose of spreading the knowledge of himself to the world. And he showed his goodness, but he also showed his judgment on sin, because when they obeyed him, they were blessed. When they disobeyed, they were judged. And so it says here in Genesis 12, talking about Israel, now the Lord had said unto Abram, go get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred unto a land that I will show thee. Now, his country was Iraq, and Abraham came from Iraq. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Now, he says he's going to make them a great nation, and so they are a great nation. And you look at all many scientific discoveries, you look at the general population worldwide of Israel. And so, once again, God has predicted the future thousands of years ago, and today they are a great nation. And it says, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Now, God said he'd bless Abraham. How is that? Well, Abraham didn't have children, but God said he would have a child, and that child would be born when he was past the age of, Sarah was past the age of having a child. She was, I think, about 90 years old when the child finally came. And God works supernatural things. I remember one time, I find it rather humorous, I was talking to my tailor who is Jewish, and he would invite me back. We'd talk about the Bible. And I said, well, I was telling him about the virgin birth of Jesus, that God was going to take on a human body in the womb of Mary. And he thought that was humorous. And I still think about it. I laugh when I think about it. He thought it was humorous. And I said, well, I tell you, I know you're a true Jew, because when God said that Abraham and Sarah were going to have a supernatural birth when it was past their time to have a child, past Sarah's time, Sarah laughed, and so did Abraham. And I said to him, it shows that you are really Jewish, you know, because they laughed when God said that to them. See, Jewish people were born on a supernatural birth, and it was a picture of Jesus who was going to come supernaturally. And so then he got real serious when I said that, and he got so serious I had a laugh then too at him, and we were good friends, of course. But it's interesting. But anyway, he will bless thee and make thy name great. Now, Abraham's name is great to the Jews. Abraham's name is great to the Arabs. Abraham's name is great to the Protestants and to the Baptists. And so his name is certainly a great name worldwide and with all the Muslims and so on. And so God fulfilled his prophecy again, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, how is Abraham a blessing? Well, he was a blessing that he gave us the word of God. Through the Jewish people, the word of God came. And, you know, it's interesting that the Authorized King James Bible is named after King James, and James is a translation into the English of Jacob. And the Bible says this in Isaiah 59, 20 and 21, "This is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth or out of the mouth of thy seed or out of the mouth of thy seed from this generation forever." And so the Jews would always have the true words of God. And so they had it in the Masoretic text, and the King James is based on the true text that God preserved through the Jewish people in the Old Testament. And that is another evidence for the text of the Authorized King James Bible. Now, the modern ones have been mutilated, and the text has been corrupted, but this text was the text that has come down to us through the Jewish people. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And so any empire, like, for instance, Pharaoh came out against the Jewish people, and Pharaoh was destroyed. And Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon was destroyed. But Israel, when God spoke to Moses, he showed a burning bush, and it seemed like the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. So all these empires attacked Israel, but they suffered, but they never were distinct. They never were extinguished. They continued on as a nation, no matter who attacks them. I tell you this, that if they could be destroyed, the credibility of the Bible would be destroyed, and the knowledge of God would be destroyed. But when Mr. Ahmadinejad said that he was going to destroy them, to me, this is, I would have to laugh at that, because down through the ages, Satan has tried to destroy them, and they just will not be destroyed. And you know, also, the fact that when they disobeyed God, they were scattered to the whole world. But God's plan was involved in that, because in their scattering, they preached the gospel to the whole world. They were bilingual. They came to Jerusalem at Passover, and thousands of them became believers in Jesus. And they were the ones that preached Jesus to the whole world. And there's still Jewish people involved in preaching Jesus to the world today. And they will preach him to the world in the very near future, because there will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists will talk to the world and say salvation through our God and through the Lamb. You see in Revelation, Jesus is called the Lamb because he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus was punished in our place on the cross. And so we can, by faith in him, when we accept him, when we tell him, and he's everywhere, he's God. We tell him, "Lord, please forgive my sins. I accept you as my God and Savior. And I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead." And you tell him and believe that, your sins will be forgiven, and you will be as sure of heaven as if you lived there a million years. Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." So he said, if you curse him, when Hitler had invaded Russia, his mistake was cursing the Jews. And so he was destroyed, and Pharaoh was destroyed. And you can go down through the ages. And the Bible says that today it says about Israel, it says they're enemies of the gospel. They don't want you to say Merry Christmas, even in their stores. But the Bible says they are loved for the Father's sake. So you better leave them alone, and you better bless them anyway. Because in the future, God has planned, he said, other nations will be destroyed, but he says they will be an everlasting nation. They are an everlasting nation. God brought them back to the land of Israel. And that's why the news is about Israel, because Jesus is going to rule and reign from Israel as King of the Jews. So it says, him that curseth thee shall, then it says, all families of the earth shall be blessed through Abraham. How is that? They're blessed through Jesus. What a wonderful blessing he is. He is the source of my joy. He is the source of peace. Boy, Christmas, some people don't like it. I love it because you go into the stores and they're trying to get rid of the songs, but they sing those Christmas carols that praise Jesus. And when we start praising Jesus and talking about his goodness, I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord comes on you. And we have a taste of the joy we'll have forever in heaven when we're with God, when we talk about Jesus. And this Christmas, spend time reading the Christmas story and talking about Jesus and tell them Merry Christmas, whether they like it or not. You know, they can be Uncle Scrooges and be against it. So it says, all families, how are we blessed? We're blessed with joy. We're blessed with peace. We're through Jesus. We're blessed with forgiveness of sins. We're blessed with eternal salvation. Jesus Christ said, the Bible says, he is the author of eternal salvation. And so when he says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, at this time, I think we have a advertisement coming on, and so we'll have that. And then we're going to have Bryn sing for us in just a minute or so.
How involved should Christians be in politics? This is Law and Justice with Chief Justice for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I had a pastor last weekend said Jesus didn't get involved with the politics of the Roman government. He had more trouble with the religious leaders of his day. What's your answer to that pastor from a biblical standpoint, why Christians should be involved with politics today?
Well, I'd read the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about being salt and light, and part of being salt is being a preservative in your culture. And there was, of course, Jesus was dealing with the spiritual realm of mankind, but he did have discussions about government and the role of government. So I think divorcing our faith from our political action just doesn't make any sense. That's what being salt and light is. You're being a preservative in the culture. You know, when the scriptures talk about salt and light, and Jesus talked about that on the Sermon on the Mount, they weren't talking about salt as a flavoring, but also as a preservative. That's what it was primarily used for. So I think Christians should be politically engaged. I think that's part of the process.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you are a teacher, you invest your life over a brief span of time in the students who are before you. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. You have just a short period where you can pour something into them, where you can polish a few edges, perhaps, or transfer a skill, or cause the light to go on. And then you wave goodbye. And they pass right along. And it's easy to lose the significance of what teaching is all about. Think of it this way. You're a part of a huge relay team of those who teach each of us through our lives. Don't be discouraged because you don't see the end result now. Teaching is definitely a long-term investment.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Okay, once again, we're back, and what the program is, Where is God's Word? And we're upholding the King James Bible as the Word of God. It's got to be somewhere. And the Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And, you know, there's another passage where it says, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And so the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. And the Bible says that his word is true, and it's all truth. And that's why, to me, these Bible correctors on radio and television, it's an abomination. And the thing is, listen to them talk. They make a dogmatic statement. They say it should be so-and-so, or the Greek says, or something like that. They never give you any proof or evidence. Now, there's a lot of Greek text out there, and maybe they don't even know that. There's a lot of corrupt ones out there, but there's one true one, that's called the Received Text, Textus Receptus, which is 99% of the ancient church fathers and ancient manuscripts. And nothing has ever changed since the King James is out there. There's just more evidence and proof of it. And so they don't tell you what text they're using. Then there's lexicons. And we remind you of this weekly, but These are Greek-English dictionaries, and some of the leading writers have said that they're very unreliable. And so many of them, like Thayer, for instance, is Unitarian, and he's one that is used. He was used by Kenneth Wiest. And we're mentioning these names because these people are correcting the Bible. And, you know, there's 47 different translators, and you study the lives of these guys. Man, they were masters at language. And they went over every one of those words about 16 times, and yet you had people that, it reminds me of Russell that started the Jehovah's Witnesses. He said he was a Greek scholar, and so the lawyer says, "You say that you're a Greek scholar in court." Russell says, "Yes, I am." And the lawyer said, "Would you please give me the Greek alphabet?" And he couldn't even give the Greek alphabet. And some of these preachers that are correcting the Bible, I would like to see them in court and see if they could give the Greek alphabet. I don't think that they could. And they demonstrate they're not. You know, there was one fellow, I don't think I'll mention him now, but he was at a well-known Bible Institute. And he wrote commentaries, and I was reading his commentary, and he was constantly correcting the King James. And he never said what Greek word he was using, what Greek text he was using, what dictionary he was using, what lexicon he was using. Nothing. He just corrected it constantly in his, I have his commentaries. And you know, what Spurgeon talked about these Bible correctors, and we've read him already, he called them popelings. So instead of trusting in the Bible that you have, you're trusting in your popeling, you know, your Bible corrector, that your Bible teacher or something. And I think that this is an abomination. The Bible says divers weights and measurements are an abomination unto the Lord. You have all these different translations coming out. What is it? They don't even agree with each other. They don't agree with the King James. That's divers weights and measurements are an abomination to the Lord. That means abomination means something that he has with extreme disgust. And we have this program, and God has raised it up. And I know that people are listening. Recently, where we put out a website, we had 1,000 people make hits on it. And so showing what we're doing. And we're going to try to start putting things on the website that will be helpful to you and so on. But anyway, the program then is about where is God's Word. And we have that Word of God today. Now, one of the things that I want to do is give you good books, and you will not find us in the bookstores that are promoting a new Bible every year, or seems like that anyway, or constantly, because they don't want you to know this stuff, but that's why we're promoting it here. Now, this book right here is called Which Bible is God's Word? Which Bible is God's Word? Now, many books are written, and I'm talking about the best ones, and God has given this person, Dr. Riplinger, a tremendous ability and knowledge of the Word of God that just amazes me. This is just a short book, and if you call in, you can get this book, and you get an idea of the writing. And all, the Satan hates this, and I'm telling you, he'll talk against it, but it's a masterpiece of knowledge. I've been reading books by everybody on this subject for 30 years, pro and con. And we're just promoting the best of the best, and this is it. Which book, Bible is God's Word? And it's written by the same author that wrote the New Age Bible versions. And if you don't have that, you need to get that also, because there it goes through 41 chapters and goes through 2,500 scripture verses that have been changed in the corrupt counterfeit Bibles. And you could see there the changes that have been made. You can see the references. You can check it with your Bible. And you should study that, and you should see those changes. Now, if you would like to get a catalog or get these books, I'm going to ask Brother Davis at this time, Pastor Davis, to give us the address where you can call and the website.
All right. Yeah, this would be very easy if you go to the website for the program, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. We have a link right there to the books that Bruce has been mentioning, and you can go directly from our website, whereisgodsword.com, to Gail Riplinger's website at avpublications.com. That's avpublications.com. Or if you don't have access to the internet or computer as easily, or you just prefer, you can call via the telephone 276-251-1734. That's in the United States, so you'd have to do the appropriate area or codes or whatever to get in the United States. But for inside the United States, obviously it's easy. Area code 276-251-1734. And or avpublications.com. And if you have trouble with all that, if you can just remember whereisgodsword.com has that information link there as well.
Okay, thank you very much. And I was thinking when I first started hearing these Bible correctors, and they've been doing it a long time, I started to investigate their corrections. And I soon found out where they were, to me, it was just deceitful what they were saying. I used to check them out. But I remember that the pastor that of the church that I went to when I was in college, he would always base it on his sermons on the Greek text. He would say the Greek says, and I believe he was a sincere man, but he was taught this way. And so he didn't correct the King James. He would just say the Greek says. But I noticed that most of the Greek departments, they don't even talk about when they're studying Greek, where the Greek, which Greek text they're using. And the time when I studied Greek at the college where I studied it, they never talked about the Greek text that we were using. And so that's certainly an important thing, because there's a lot of Greek, corrupt Greek text. Now, I want to read about what Job says on this subject. Now, I went to the seminary where he had gone, and I talked to the Greek professor because I started to study this subject. And so he gave me a paper, and I said, I want to know about where these Bibles are coming from, where these Greek texts are. And so he gave me a paper. And when I was talking to him, this paper that he gave me, it states in there, in the paper, that God said he'd never preserve his words. Now, here is a Greek professor in a seminary, and he doesn't even know the English Bible. He's supposed to be teaching Greek, and he doesn't. The Bible is full of passages where it said God would preserve his words. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And he didn't even know that. And so when I read this paper that he gave me, and it said nowhere in the Bible did God say preserve his words, I had read the New Testament through by that time about 100 times. And these verses just started popping into my head, and I said, God did say he'd preserve his words. And I was surprised and amazed. I never remembered anybody ever telling me that before. And so just because they know Greek doesn't mean that they know the word of God or know what they're talking about. Now, Job says in Job 19:22, why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand for the latter day upon the earth. Now, as we comment on this, I'm going to ask Pastor Davis to give our phone number here. And you can call in today. And if you would like to say something or have a question or a comment, you can do it now. And I'll ask Brother Davis to give this the comment.
Okay, the phone number is 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. If you're in the United States or Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. It gets you on the air with Bruce Musselman with your questions or comments about the topic here. And Bruce, we have somebody calling in that we'll get to in just a moment. He's not ready to put him forward yet, but as soon as we do, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you very much. And so we're going to be talking about this, but I think we have a few minutes here, and we'll ask Bryn to sing at this time. And she is the one you probably talk to if you call in. And she's a great singer and a godly lady. She's a daughter of Gail Ripplinger, and they go out witnessing together and giving out tracts together, and she's married to a preacher. And so I'll ask now if we'll have her come on and sing, okay? ¶¶ She sure has a beautiful voice, and she's a godly young lady that Gail told me that she knows a lot about this subject, too, and can answer questions. And then her husband, Steve, is also, who's a preacher, he also is up on this subject, too, so you might talk to him also. But we're so glad that you're listening to us today, and the scripture verse is Job chapter 22, verse 23 or 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written, that they were printed in a book. Printed in a book. And that's what we have. God's words are printed in a book, and it's called the Authorized King James Bible. That they were graven with an iron pen and let in the rock forever. In other words, it's going to be something that's really solid that can never be destroyed. And I was amazed. I went into a store, one of the dollar stores, and there they had King James Bibles for a very low price. It said printed in China. I thought, that's really something. He'll make the wrath of men to praise him. And so we commend the Chinese government for that. And we have listeners from China, by the way. And so we're glad about that. I'll read another verse also here on this subject. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So Job, in all of his trouble, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Jesus is the Redeemer. The penalty of our sin is death and hell. And Jesus paid the penalty for us, and so it's now life and peace. All right, we have some callers waiting to get on the air, and so go ahead.
Bruce.
Yes.
This is your other good preacher that you come to visit.
Okay.
Rover.
Yes, sir. I know. I recognize the name. What do you have to tell us?
Well, I tell everybody that I know I got three Bibles.
Yes.
Two black ones. Matter of fact, three black ones. But you know what I tell them? I look on the inside. It says King James. It don't matter how many King James you got. If it's not the Word of God, it's a phony Bible. I tell people, Bruce, the other day I told somebody, I said, well, you got a brand new... And
you
by
said,
the way, hi, brother, how you doing?
You said if it's not the King James, it's a phony Bible, right?
Phony Bible.
Yeah, I just want to get that straight. Okay.
Yes, it's phony. Sunday I preached on the little, I call it the little John, the fourth chapter. It says, try the spirit and see if it's of God. So somebody asked me, says, how could you tell if it's a... Well, I say, first of all, if I go into a church and the preacher asks me to preach, I'm going to ask them, do they go with a King James? If they don't go with it, I'll say, I'll see you later when you get to the real Word of God.
Amen.
I love it. Hey, I'm gonna hang up, but I want to ask Brother Al, how did you and Gus like your eggs?
Real good, real good. Appreciate that.
Oh, we gave out 90 dozens of those.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And you know, the King James has now been printed into
Bruce,
five.
I'm gonna hang up and let somebody else talk. You say.
Okay.
All right.
It's been printed into 5 billion copies now, 5 billion copies. And that's the Word of God. We have it today. Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Okay, we have someone else now?
We have Michael next.
Okay, Mike.
Hello, Bruce.
Hello there. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You said to call in, so I'm calling in. I'm out in my truck, but... That song, first of all, that song was a beautiful song. We have a talented family at Bible Baptist Temple that just played that song at the Manor Care in Willoughby, a nursing home. And that's a great song, praise the Lord. I was going to, on the topic, you're familiar with the Textus Receptus?
That's the true text. It's called the Received Text and Textus Receptus, and it's 99% of the ancient church fathers and ancient manuscripts, and it's come down to us, and it was copied in the true churches down through the ages. The true Bible-believing churches copied, and it's the basis for the King James Bible.
Right. I have a quote. I believe it's from Frederick Nolan. He was around 1784 to 1864, and it's just a little paragraph. It says, with respect to the manuscript, it is indisputable that he was acquainted with every variety which is known to us, having distributed them into two principal classes, one of which corresponds with the Vatican manuscript, the church, he was aware, and was infested with Origenes and Arius, and affinity between any manuscript and that version consequently conveyed some suspicion that its text was corrupted. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, the Vatican manuscript was put out by Constantine, who is the incarnation of the sun god, according to the pagans. And he professed Christianity, but yet he was the high priest of the supreme pontiff of the pagan religion. And he put out this corrupt Bible, which is the basis for the modern versions. And that's less than 1% of the evidence. And it's called the eclectic text because the manuscripts we have from it constantly disagree with one another. And Westcott and Hort, they use these handful of manuscripts, and they call it the New Testament in the original Greek. Well, of course, the text was original with them because the manuscripts they used disagreed, and so they made up their own text based on these manuscripts that disagreed. And people are always talking about the original Greek text. Well, they don't have the originals, but today we have copies of copies, and Jesus, when he said it is written, he based it on the copies that he had. And the New Testament, they never corrected the Bible that they had. Today you hear, this is an unfortunate translation, it should be so-and-so. Christ and the apostles never did that. People that do that do not follow what Jesus said about the Bible. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. That's a scripture verse. God's word is always true, and we have it in the King James Bible. And so we need to read it, and it'll change your heart and change your life. And we can thank God that the Holy Spirit of God is in those words. The words that Jesus said, I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And it has the very life of God in those words in our authorized King James Bible that have changed millions of people. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding